Essex Gardens well worth a visit? Essex is home to gardens of national and international significance. This article talks to the head gardeners at three of them about the challenges they face, what inspires them, and how you can bring a touch of magic to your own garden. RHS Garden, Hyde Hall. It is always a thrill to arrive at a large professionally managed garden. There are so many opportunities to look and learn. Plants grown in new ways, there are different combinations and innovative landscaping ideas. This is especially exciting when you know that the growing conditions mirror your own Essex garden and can definitely be given a try. This is certainly true at RHS Garden, Hyde Hall in Rettenden, just outside Chelmsford. The head gardener here, Robert Brett, actually holds the title of curator, and this makes perfect sense when you see the number of different areas within the site for which he is responsible. Each has a specific collection of plants displayed to the public, much as art is in a gallery. The garden celebrates its 30th birthday this year. Farmland was donated to the RHS in 1993, which would seem a good time to visit. While there are always new areas being planted, many parts of the garden are now well established and provide huge pleasure to many new and returning visitors through all the seasons. One of the must-see areas is the dry garden, with its outstanding range of drought-resistant plants, many planted in drifts that maintain their impact for most of the year. For more than 20 years, this particular garden has provided the opportunity to experiment with the dry weather that's typical in this part of the country, and it is now well positioned to cope with recent heat waves and droughts. This is not to overlook the success of other areas, such as the Rose Garden, its wide collection all thriving on the Essex clay soil. A new area at the side of the Hilltop Lodge is currently being developed for cacti and succulents. While annual temperatures have increased, our climate is not perfect for these types of plant, as they cannot tolerate winter wet. Robert hopes that this sheltered courtyard, offering a rain shadow, might just suit them. His philosophy is to provide the best conditions possible and then see how the plants cope. Robert's advice to anyone starting a garden in Essex is to work around what the weather gives us. There are opportunities to grow plants that are not native to the UK, for example, grevillea, a group of evergreen plants that come from Australia. Palms such as the Asian Trachycarpus or Dubea, the Chilean wine palm, will survive outside. And grasses such as Stipa and Calamagrostis are fully hardy and don't mind heavy clay soils. But start with two or three good plants and see how they work together. Not surprisingly, Robert finds inspiration from visiting natural landscapes rather than formal gardens. And these can be British woodlands or botanic gardens abroad. By observing the conditions in which plants thrive, he is able to decide whether they might work back in Essex. If he can provide the correct environment for the plant, it is worth growing. He likes to push the boundaries as much as he can. Beth Chatto's Plants and Gardens. Further east in Elmstead Market, Asa Gregers-Warg has the role of head gardener at Beth Chatto's Plants and Gardens. Asa has 7.5 acres of garden under her management, and she continues the ethos of the garden's creator, Beth Chatto, for whom gardening was all about providing the correct growing conditions for each plant. And so, It is not surprising to find dry, gravel, scree, water, woodland and reservoir gardens filled with plants thriving in their given homes. As with the dry garden at Hyde Hall, the gravel garden here has a reputation for showcasing a range of plants that require no irrigation. But while the dry garden is on heavy clay, the gravel garden is on poor soil, sandy gravel to which only a small amount of organic matter is added to the top layer to give plants a good start. Visitors can learn about plants that thrive in other conditions in the woodland, water and reservoir gardens, which give opportunities for a wider range of plants, shrubs and trees. Here, Asa has opportunities to try new planting schemes as the garden matures. The garden is not going to get any larger, she says, but it has never been a museum. And areas that were planted 50 years ago have, of course, changed. As trees become larger, they can make a damp area dry. Or if we lose a big tree, we suddenly have an open area to work on. With such specific conditions to deal with, it is perhaps not surprising that Asa will usually choose plant nurseries to visit for inspiration. Meeting nurserymen and women who specialise in just a few species of plant gives her the opportunity to learn in depth about the plants and decide if they are suitable for her. She suggests that Essex gardeners look at Baptisia and Ansonia for more unusual and up-and-coming groups of plants to try in their own gardens. In both cases, their deep roots mean that they should withstand drought conditions once they are established. For Asa and her team, the focus is always on good gardening practices. More extreme weather can be challenging, and they have a responsibility to be water wise, use sustainable practices and create more resilient gardens. They follow Beth Chatto's mantra, right plant, right place, and plant in the spring and autumn so that roots can establish while there is moisture in the ground. Keep watering to a minimum and using a mulch to retain moisture are standard practices. Asking Asa about the current trend for leaving a garden in a more natural state to attract wildlife, she explains how she leaves wildlife corridors of nettles and brambles along the boundaries. I like to find a balance, she says. It sounds perfect. BethChatto.co.uk. Markshall Estate. The Arboretum at Markshall Estate in Coggeshall offers slightly different challenges to head gardener Ian Chandler, who is responsible for both the woodland and the formal gardens. At nearly 2,500 acres, it requires shrewd management, but at the same time offers visitors the chance to take long woodland walks and find many places along the way to relax and enjoy the countryside. The Arboretum gives Ian plenty of options for planting with areas of both alkaline and acid soil, and its division into five geographic zones completes his vision for visitors to be able to go on an 80-minute trip around the world during one visit. The changing climate, though, is a challenge when planting new trees. The amount of rain hasn't changed, Ian says, but it's the time of year that it falls that is changing. While rainfall used to typically be spread throughout the year, we are now seeing months when we don't get any, usually when we need it most. His team's techniques are adapting accordingly, and newly planted trees are fitted with watering bags, which gradually release water directly to the tree's roots until they become established. A contrast to the Arboretum can be found in the walled garden, where more formal areas of planting are designed for spring and summer interest. Visitors can enjoy favourite garden plants such as iris, lavender and grasses, planted in huge drifts, and walk along the longest herbaceous border in the county. Another interesting aspect of the setting will be brought into focus at Easter, when a relaunch of the estate will explore its history during World War II. It effectively became a small village housing 3,500 troops due to the proximity of Earl's Cairn airfield. While working on the estate, it is not uncommon to come across old ordnance, evidence of the officers' mess, a cinema and gymnasium. Wildlife is being encouraged by converting some of the air raid shelters into bat hibernaculum. Second World War panels can be found around the grounds explaining the history, while a timeline and some of the finds will form the basis of a small exhibition. Ian never underestimates the great privilege he has working and living on the estate. He says, "The best thing about my job is seeing the work that you have done grow and come together. I've propagated seeds that I see as mature plants 20 years later. I also get to work amongst some of the most majestic trees from around the world." In spite of this, his recommendations for a tree suitable for a typical Essex garden would be a small magnolia or Japanese maple. You can't beat them for glorious spring flowers and autumn colour. While the scope of these three gardens is beyond the reach of most visitors, there is so often something in the detail that is relatable and that can be recreated at home in a smaller space. Additionally, they all make a wonderful day out.